Well, praise God. You glad to be in church this morning? Well, get your Bibles out and go up towards the front this morning. Go to Genesis chapter 3. We're going to start there this morning. Praise God. I want to thank everybody that was praying for me. I was down in the valley this week and did a men's meeting Friday night and preached down there. Then it was really good, great. Everybody from Bethany sends their blessings and their love down there and up here. And so it was a great deal. So praise God for that. Didn't get stopped and almost thrown in jail this time. So praise God. I felt blessed and the hand of the Lord upon me. It's terrible when you're a preacher and you got to go through those things like that and you're holding your breath so you don't get thrown in jail. But anyway, glory to God. I want to start a new series this morning. I say it's a new series. You know how I am. I just preach and we'll just go. So, you know, you can intertwine it and call it whatever you want to. But I want to be talking to you the next few weeks about having intimacy with God. And I just am stirred because I was talking to Sister Annie, who runs Bethany Church down there in Alamo. And so I said, what have you been preaching on? And so she started telling me, and it was almost exactly the same. And I'm like, yeah, we're on the flow here. God's trying to talk to us. He's trying to tell us something. And I just really believe we're in a time right now. And I mean, we all need to always at all times be close to God. But I believe there's things in life that hinder us from actually having a strong relationship with the Lord. We tend to let religious things, we tend to let sinful things, we tend to let whatever distract us from really what God wants in our lives. Y'all with me? And so I want to just look into it. I want to just tear into it, dig down, get to the root of everything, and then just kind of start building from there. Is that okay? Because I want y'all to have a vibrant, living relationship with Jesus. If your relationship with God is just based upon solely coming to church here this morning, and then you're going to go the rest of the week, and you're not going to have any talking and communicating and praying or reading or anything with the Lord, and that's just all your revelation is, I'm telling you, you're missing it. You're selling yourself short. It's about a living, vibrant relationship that we walk with the Lord every day. It's like He helps us in everything, in every detail. Let me just tell you this story. There was a coming back from preaching down there. We needed fuel. And, well, if I go back up the whole story, we had some time to kill. Pastor likes coffee, okay? But I like good coffee. I don't want to mess. And I'd had two bad cups of coffee that morning, and I told Jake, he was driving me. I said, I want a good cup of coffee. I said, go find me a Starbucks. It's the only thing I'd know would be around here. I said, go find me some. I want a good, strong cup of coffee. So, you know, it's so sad to say this, but I actually have an app on my iPhone that tells me where the closest Starbucks is to me. And so I pulled it up on the iPhone, and it tells us directions. It was like 4 miles away. It was the closest Starbucks. And I said, you know, go. This is where we're going to go. And I had some time to kill. That's what I want you to understand. I was not like making people wait on me. And so I said, go get it. You know, and so we're riding over there, and we go over there, and we make a few wrong turns, and we, you know, get over there. And we finally end up, and we go in there, and then I, you know, I'm taking my time because I can't be over at the office until 9 o'clock, and it's early, and so I'm just killing time. And so I got my Starbucks. I'm happy. Life's good. You know, the Holy Ghost is flowing because pastor's happy. And so we're driving down the road, and we're just randomly going down the road, and I asked Jake, I said, hey, do we need fuel? We need fuel in the car before we go back? And he said, yeah. He said, you know, we could get fuel, you know, here, somewhere else, or whatever. And I said, well, you know, there's a HEB right up there. Just pull over that HEB right there and pull in there. And let's just get fuel, kill a little more time. So we pull up in there, and I didn't even tell him this, but I looked, instantly surveyed a spot of what pump I'd have pulled up to. But he's driving. So he passed up that one and went around and pulled in a different one. And when I step out of the car, standing right in front of me, just like I was driven up right to the doorstep of somebody's house, was a young man that goes to Bethany Church. And I was like, hey, man, how you doing? I hadn't seen you. You know, and he wasn't at the meetings. And so I said, you know, how you doing? And what's going on? And he was just like dumbfounded there. I'm standing there. You know, I've known him since he was a kid. And so we start just talking and chit-chatting and everything. And I just start sensing something's not right. And he works for a company, and he's loading a machine there. And so he's just working, and I'm talking to him, and I sense something, you know, something's not right. So I'm quizzing him, trying to get to, you know, hey, what's going on? And so anyway, real long story short, in a minute he looks up and tells me, he said, actually what happened was the Lord spoke to me, told me to give him some money. And so I didn't want to just pull out money because I knew he would resist me. And so I went over there to the side of the car, said goodbye. And then I went to the side of the car and got some money and put it in my hand. And then I put it back in my, you know, hid myself. And then I went over there and said, hey, man, God told me to give you this. And he's like, no. Shoved it in his pocket. And we go through this deal. And all of a sudden, tears well up in his eyes. He said, man, I hadn't been going to church. And I said, hey, man, now you're telling me I know that why I'm here. I could have pulled over to any gas station, anywhere in the world. I stopped here at this moment, at this time, while you're there. He pulled to that gas pump, and I stepped out, and here Jesus delivered me into your lap to bless you and to talk to you and to pray for you and to tell you, you know, he's alive. Folks, that's the kind of relationship we should be living all the time. I had no earthly idea it was going to happen. I did not wake up that morning, see a bright light, and all of a sudden, you know, the Lord spoke, Robert, I want you to go at exactly, you know, 8:39 to the, you know. No. None of this kind of stuff. I'm just living my life. I'm just flowing, and I want a cup of coffee. You say, oh, how simple. You know, no. It was the perfect thing. God arranged everything, worked everything right around at that moment, at that time. He's that big, folks. I'm talking about a living, vibrant relationship. I go back to the office. I meet with Sister Annie. I said, hey, I just had a Holy Ghost encounter down here. Ran into so-and-so. He told me I'm not going to church. What's going on? And she said, oh, my God, I'm so unbelievable. Thank you, Jesus, that you went by there. Oh, we've been trying to help and witness him. And you were the perfect one to go by there, the deal. And we've all been praying and all this. And I thought, yeah, isn't this amazing? Here's, you know, parents praying for their children. And then here comes old Pastor Robert just lopping along, wanting a cup of coffee. Happened to be available at that moment to drive up there. You see what I'm saying? There was no, oh, we've got to go. We've got to turn right here. No. Get all this, that spiritual side of things out. I just love Jesus. I just got up that morning and said, Lord, just, you're in charge of my day. What are we going to do? Lord, this is the worst cup of coffee I've ever tasted, Lord. I mean, I told him that. I said, man, this is the nastiest cup of coffee. This is not coffee. It's not coffee. Oh, and on top of that, I have a favorite little restaurant that I like to go eat at. And then we went there to eat. You know, in other words, I was just doing my day. I was just doing my desires. But God had it all arranged. God had it all worked out. You see, folks, that's the kind of relationship we have to live in life. Now, let me go there. But what happens to us in life so many times is that we're so plagued with guilt and shame. We're so plagued with stupid religious thinking. I said it. That we're so bound up and so caught up that you may still be on your knees praying, asking God to direct you and give you some answer when you should have just been out walking and let him get you where you need to be and bless you where you need to be. I can't believe he said that. Yeah. Quit waiting for the burning bush experience and start having a vibrant living relationship every day where you're walking with him and being intimate with God and you're just believing him to order your steps and prepare your way and make all your crooked paths straight. Quit letting the devil come up and trip you up in life and talk about guilt and shame and mess you up with this or that, or have you so focused on the problem that you're trying to overcome in life you don't see what God wants to do. Turn and look at the person beside you and just smile at them and say, hey. So I want to help you here this morning. I want to show you what heaven thinks about you. That's where we're going to start off in this deal about intimacy. Okay? Now, when you were young and you were in, you know, however young, grade school, you know, you might have had a crush on a girl, and you might have talked to another girl, asked that girl if she did like you. Has that ever happened? You kind of wondered, does so-and-so like me? Right? Y'all with me? Well, I want to tell you this morning, I'm going to report to you this morning what God thinks of you. All right? Starts out here, we got a problem. Starts out here in chapter 3, verse 1. It says, now the serpent was more cunning than the beasts of the field which the Lord had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the serpent was more cunning than any of the beasts of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said? Now I'm just reading the same thing over again. I'm sorry. I don't have my glasses on. I'm trying to keep from doing that, but I can't see. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it. Nor shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said to the woman, oh, you're not going to die. For God knows that the day you eat, your eyes will be open. You'll be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, the tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and she ate. She also gave to her husband, and he ate. And the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. Okay. Right here, we got a problem. God made man. He created man. He created man to have an intimate relationship with him. The Bible says, if you read back in Genesis chapter 2, that God came and he wanted to walk through the garden. He wanted to talk to Adam and Eve, and he wanted to have this relationship with them. And it was every evening in the cool of the evening, God would come in and they'd have this great fellowship. Y'all with me? Because God didn't want to communicate with the angels. He wanted to communicate with mankind that he had created. Created in his image. He wanted to talk to you. He wants to talk to you. He wants to have a relationship with you. He is pursuing you as I speak. But there was a problem. He just gave mankind one thing. Don't do. Don't eat of the tree. Just one thing. And they did it. You obviously know they lost their minds because they took fig leaves and put them on themselves. Does anything else need to be said? They lost their mind to sow a fig leaf. There, go get a palm leaf. Lord, don't get a fig leaf. I mean, come on. So immediately they went stupid right off the bat. Just boom. And if you know, sin causes you to just do stupid things, right? So there was one thing God said don't do. They did do it, and then boom. Okay. Now, with that thought in mind, because I'm kind of wired this morning, so with that thought in mind, just let me go to the next. I'm kind of jumping around, but it'll all make sense at the end. Y'all just bear with me, okay? All right. So let's just say, let me put it to you in this way. At that moment, a debt was created. Mankind owed God a debt. They did something wrong. They owed him a debt. Now, let's just say this. I don't know. Let's just, for an example, you had a major medical problem. You had to go to the hospital and you didn't have insurance, and they charged you the full amount, and you came out of that hospital and you owed, you know, $3 million for all that had been done to you. And you're like, I can't pay $3 million. I said, well, come on down. We'll put you on the payment plan. You're just going to have to pay $100 for the rest of your life and your son's life and your grandchildren's life to pay this back. So all of a sudden you're overwhelmed, right? You have the burden of debt on you. You're overwhelmed. You're blown away. There's no way you can pay that money back. You know it. And so every day, every month, you're burdened. You know you got to come up with that money to pay that bill, you know, and if you don't, then the penalty of you losing everything could come upon you. And so you start struggling through life every day with that debt, that weight of that debt on you. Y'all with me? Okay. So then all of a sudden one day a friend comes to you and says, hey, listen, you know, I understand you're really kind of burdened with that debt and everything, you know, here's a check. Here's a check for $3 million. Just go pay it off. He'd say, so you go down there and you pay them off, right? And then the guy says, well, listen, since I paid that off now, you know, since you really owe me now $3 million, I need you to come go to work for me every day for nothing. And you're like, well, wait a minute. I was in trouble, but now I'm in worse trouble. Now I'm indebted to you. Okay? So nothing changed. Just who he owed changed, but the weight and the pressure of the debt of owing that bill didn't change. Y'all with me? And then a guy comes by, and this happens again, and somebody buys your debt, and you go down, and then you owe it to somebody else, but you still owe the debt. You just got a different owner. This used to happen all the time in the Old Testament, and in the period that you'd sell yourselves as slaves, and you'd just be indebted to the next person. You never got free of the debt. Even if one debt was paid off, you still owed the person who you got the money from. Am I right? This is the state man was in because they owed a debt to God for the sin that had been done in the garden that could never be paid. Go to Romans chapter 3. Let me show you what it says here. Chapter 5. In Romans chapter 5, look down at verse 12. Therefore, just as though one man's sin entered the world and death through sin, doth death spread to all men because all sin. You see what Adam did there? That debt fell upon all of mankind. You and me. Now, you know, if you owe somebody a debt, and you know it's a debt you can't pay, then I don't know, you usually don't want to hang around that person. Am I right? If you know you owe somebody some money and you see that person in town, you usually don't go say, hey, let's go get a cup of coffee. You usually say, oh, God, there's so-and-so. That's what mankind's been doing. Every time God taps on the door of their heart, they say, oh, it's God. Not even realizing that this debt, that's where the debt comes from. They don't even understand what's going on. They just understand they're not right with God, so therefore they don't want to meet with God. Y'all following me here? You don't know why, but there's just something on the inside of you that says, I don't want to go talk to Daddy today. Okay. Look at this. Nevertheless, verse 14, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even all who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who was a type of him who was to come. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God through the gift and the grace of one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. Okay, so then God instituted the law, and all the way up until Moses, then all of a sudden man thought they saw a bright spot. And in this bright spot they saw was they thought that by the law and the doing of works, they could make themselves right before God. But if you look at it from God's perspective, you know, there's always two sides to the story. Man's side of the story is, give us something to do and we'll work really hard and we'll be perfect and we'll please you, Lord. And God's side of the story is, I have to show man how they cannot make themselves righteous by their works. Two sides of the story. So God said, oh, okay, you want to do works? Here, do these. If you do these, you're perfect. Well, thousands of years, man was stupid enough to say, I think we can do it. Come on, guys, we can do it. Until the day of Jesus, they got to where there was no, they knew by then that there was no way they could do it. So they started writing in little, you know, excerpts and little asterisks beside the commandments. So if they didn't do it, then, you know, they had an excuse. Right? So then they became religious. And religious is trying by observation to look like you're right. That's my definition. That comes straight from Robert Richards. Okay? And I don't even know if I could say it again. I have to play the tape back. But that's what religion is by observation. You know, looking. Observation. You're trying to convince yourself and everybody that you're right. That's religion. That's not a living, vibrant relationship with Jesus. It's changing you on the inside, and you just naturally are better. So God put forth a law, and the law was put out there to show us we can't do it. We have to have a Savior. Are y'all with me? That's what it was all for. All the ordinances, all the covenants, all the eating this and eating that and don't doing this and don't doing that and keep this out and do this and go over there and this and that and the other and this was to show you you couldn't do it, not to give you a chance that you might could. How many of you during the Olympics, there was some event that you maybe you saw that you thought, I could do that. Anybody in here, is that crazy? See, oh, Bruce right there, I thought it. I mean, I didn't choose the hard ones. I did think I bet I could dive off that diving board, just, you know, do a double gainer and come right off that thing and land. Probably be that like that guy that landed flat on my back or something, but badminton. I was like, really? Y'all help me get back on track for a minute because I want to go down this little rabbit trail, okay? I just kind of feel kind of horsey right now. Did you see the one where the girls were doing throwing the little baton deal up in the air and dancing around and everything? I looked at it and thought, now that's an Olympic sport. I mean, that's pretty, it belongs in the circus or something. I mean, that's pretty talented, but, you know, it's an Olympic sport. And I thought, man, they had like knives or, you know, throwing flaming swords and had to catch them. Now, give them, that's pretty good, you know. But you see, there's something that on the inside of us that we see something, we think, I can do that. You go with me? And God had to show us, you ain't going to get this one done. You're not going to keep it. You're not going to keep all the commandments. You're not going to be righteous. There's no way by works you can be righteous before me. It ain't going to happen. He had to show us because we're so dense that we think we just possibly might pull it off. Hello? Okay. So this debt, back to this debt that was owed, then is continuing to fall. The burden of this debt is continuing to fall upon mankind because man owes God a debt and we can't pay it. So he gives us the law and says, well, if you want to try to work it off, go ahead, but you ain't never going to get it done. So now we have the weight of the debt. Now listen to me. The weight of the debt mixed in with the guilt of not being able to do it and the shame of not being able to do it mixed in on top of that. So does that really make a conducive environment for us to want to go sit down and talk to the one we owe all this to? It doesn't. And I'm saying you cannot have an intimate relationship if the smell or the aroma of that I just said is still lingering in your life. Okay. Go back up to verse 1 in Romans 5. Are y'all following me here? Y'all with me? We're all on the same picture? All on the same page? Looking at the same picture? Therefore, says verse 1, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that Christians know this verse in their head, but I'm not sure how many know this in their heart. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2, through whom we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope and the glory of God. And not only that we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations produce perseverance, perseverance, character, character, hope, Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Now, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let me start reading in verse 12. For we do not commend ourselves again to you, but give you opportunity to boast on our behalf, that you may have an answer for those who boast in appearance or not in heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. Or if we are of sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, and those who live no longer to themselves, but for him who died for those and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh. Yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and given us the ministry of reconciliation. Now let's stop right there for a second. He says that God reconciled us to himself. So there's a debt, but God reconciled it. You with me? There's a debt, but God reconciled it. Have you ever, I hope you do this, if you have a bank account and you have money in the bank account and you have a checkbook and then you have bills, and if you start writing checks for the bills you owe, you're supposed to only write as many checks as the amount of money you have in the bank. Hello? And the only way to know if you're okay and are not going to be overdrawn is you have to know to reconcile your checkbook. Now, what does reconcile mean? It means you went into the checkbook, you saw the number, the amount of checks, you have the amount of dollars that you have in the bank, you have the number of checks, you add those dollars up, and it comes out and it's got to work, right? It's been reconciled. You all with me? It's an accounting term. You reconcile it. Hello? Y'all with me? God looked down at man and said, man, they ain't never going to pay this debt back. They're never going to get it done. They can't get it done. There's only one way they can get it done. Somebody has to pay the debt. Now, I'm putting this real simple, but this is going to bless you here at the end. Just hang on. Said, somebody's got to pay the debt. Somehow, I have got to get in their accounts the amount of money to pay off that burden of debt. So Jesus says, I'll tell you what, I'll do it. I'll pay it. God says, the requirement, son, would be your life. I said, I'll do it. I'll pay the price for humanity. Now, look what it said here. Verse 14, for the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. If one died for all, then all died. In other words, if Adam died and it caused everybody to die, and he died for all, then those who live should no longer live to themselves. So if Jesus is going to die for us, if it worked with Adam, it's going to work with Jesus. But for him who died for them and rose again, therefore from now on we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have thus known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. All of a sudden, verse 18, now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus and then given us the ministry of reconciliation. Verse 19, that is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Okay, he says, what God did was, is he got Jesus and his blood, his price paid was the blood of Jesus. That's what it required. The only thing that could pay the debt off, the requirement was the blood of a perfect sacrifice. Jesus' blood then took care of the bill, but somehow it had to get in your account. You see, this is what happens. People believe, oh yeah, well, everybody's saved. Everybody's going to, when you die, everybody's going to go to heaven. That's not right. Because Jesus, yes, his blood paid the price for the sin of mankind, but you got to get it into your account somehow. Hello? It's like, you know, I hate to even say this, but it's just like, you know, it's like I'm not even going to say it. No, I'm trying to figure out how to say it so it sounds the best. You know, it's like, okay, the money is available, but unless you apply for it, you're not going to get it. Hello? Jesus' blood made it available for you, but you got to apply for it. You got to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart in Jesus that he's the Son of God. Get that blood put in your account. Get your debt paid off, and then all the old things are gone because the trespass or the sin or the offense or whatever's listed on all of those checks in your checkbook, those trespasses, those sins, those whatever you want to call them, they don't get imputed to your account. They don't get put into your account. They don't get counted. He reconciled it. He said, okay, he looks in your account, the blood of Jesus. He looks at the debt you owe. He says, call it good. And then mankind, we look at it and we say, oh, well, I guess I just owe you now. And we expect Jesus to be the taskmaster who's going to exact onto us because we've just taken our burden from one deal to the burden of the next. But he said, no. I love you. I gave it to you. It's yours. You're free. But I don't know about you, but when somebody would do something for that like that for me, then I want to serve him. Hello? I want him to be my friend. I want to find out about him. I want to talk to him. I want to know things. I want to go to him and find out what's going on. Why is this like this and this like this? I want to spend time with him. I want to hear his voice. I want to see a miracle. I want to see some things. Y'all with me? I don't do it because I think I owe him a debt. I do it because I love him. Because he really is that awesome. He really did pay off my debt. And whether I spoke with him from now or whatever, my debt's paid for because I believed him that he's the Son of God. Intimacy won't start in your life with Jesus until you get this revelation that you have been reconciled. But it gets better. Let's read on. It says that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. So he's saying, look, you guys, you only have one message to preach. Tell everybody Jesus has done it and get right with him. That's all. But you know, that's my paraphrase. Y'all with me? Let's read on. Verse 21. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Now, I did some research on the word righteousness. And the word righteousness, when you find what the Greek word is, it comes back equity. And the root of the word justice and righteousness is equity. Now, I don't know about y'all, but when I hear the word equity, I mean, I think of it in the financial terms. Like, you know, you've been paying your mortgage on your home and the amount of money you owe that you've paid in on your home, You know, if it was a $200,000 home and you've already paid $100,000, then you have $100,000 worth of equity in your home, right? Unless, like we've just been through, the housing market drops because homes become not as valuable as they once were, and so therefore you, what, lost your equity. Hello? But equity is the value you have in something. What you owe. I mean, what you own, not what you owe. Right? In the Latin, the word equity, like in, you know, like the early centuries, it meant basically even or equal. That was where the word came. Then about the 16th century, the word began to change a little bit. People, you know, begin to use it in financial terms and the word, the way we use the word more about equity, about the value that you have in it, you know, so that your value is here, 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 not, it wouldn't just equal. If you change the word righteousness there and just put equity in there, it says that we might become the equity of God in Him. In other words, you're the value of God in Christ. See, when He paid your debt off, when the blood of Jesus came into your life and paid your debt, then you became of great value to God. You're one of the redeemed. I don't know about you, but if I've worked really hard and I've paid for something, I value it. God values you because you believed in Jesus. He values you because you took the most precious thing He had, the blood of His Son, and you believed in Him and you applied it to your debt. And now you are the value or the equity of God in Christ. You are of such value to Him. Are you following me here? When God looks at you, He doesn't look at, dadgum, Keitha, I cannot believe you did that again. He didn't look down from heaven and say, my God, what am I going to do with that woman? He looks past everything. He looks past every offense. He looks past every trespass. He looks past everything and looks down there and He says, oh my gosh, Keitha, she believed in me. She believed in my Son Jesus. She applied His blood to her debt. She's one of the redeemed. Oh, what value she is. How great she is. Oh, man, I love to be with Keitha. I wish she'd come talk to me. That's the way God's thinking. I told you at the start of this, I want to tell you if your girlfriend likes you or not. And I'm telling you, He does. He looks at you. He doesn't see. God doesn't look down and see what you're ashamed of and what you feel guilty of your past, because He sees the new creature, the new you, the one that's been born again, the one that's been reconciled, the one that the trespass has already taken, has already been washed away, the one that's covered in the blood. He looks at you and says, man, you're perfect. It's too good to be true, but it's the truth. Religion teaches us because, see, religion tries to get you back under the old law because it figures you've got to do works and or you're going to just go out there and just be really bad. And if you're going to get more out of telling you that, you know, you're not going to make it, so you better work harder than if I was to tell you you've already made it, because then you might slack off. And I want to tell you the truth because, you know, it's like the carrot out in front of the horse to keep him walking, you know. You just got to keep going. You got to keep that. That's what religion wants to do. Keep it out in front of you to keep you trying to walk and serve. I'm telling you today, God loves you right now. I'm telling you what, that He is excited right now. That He wants to have an intimate relationship with you right now. And if you have made Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of your life and applied His blood and got it in your account and covered your debt, you're covered. And He looks at you as value and says, man, I got equity in you. By my blood of my son, I got equity in you. I want you. I want you to come and have a relationship with me. I want to talk with you. I want to tell you the secret and dark things of the world that you just always wanted to know. But if our shame and guilt from our past keeps us from wanting to go be with him, then we lose intimacy. If you don't think the girl likes you, you're not going to go talk to her. Hello? I could tell you stories about my wife. I chased her and chased her. She ignored me and ignored me. Finally, I had to get radical in life and do some things to catch her. She held out, but I won. The point is, man, you're not going to go chase. You're not going to go pursue somebody. You just looks at you and says, I don't like you. Get away. But when you know that God wants you and have a relationship with you, he wants you to get rid of shame and guilt. And he wants you to get up there and belly up to the bar and come right up there and sit down and have a relationship. Hello? Then you know what? You'll start wanting to be intimate with God. Start wanting to share your heart and your life. Start wanting to sit down, and if you've got to do some complaining, do some complaining. You've got to do some praising, whatever. Complain and praise all at the same time. He doesn't care. He just loves you. He just wants to be with you. He just wants you to read his word and talk to him about it. He just wants you to have some fun in life and enjoy life with him. Let him work some miracles and some things. It's like I told you at the first of the service, just get you in some places sometimes right where you need to be, where you know it's God. He just wants you to blunder into things. And then all of a sudden find out, wow, this is where I need to be. But if you don't feel accepted, you don't feel loved, you're not going to pursue him. And I'm telling you today, you got to get that out of your life. Now, I'll give you one last scripture, then we're going to pray for you. In Mark chapter 4, the story of Jesus is talking about the sower. And it says, the devil comes immediately to steal the word that was sown in your heart. Listen to me. Your enemy is not God. Your enemy is the devil. And whether he gets you to kill yourself or gets you to lose the word that's been sown in you, or gets you to pull it up and throw it away, or he uses somebody else, or he uses whatever, he's after the word. He's after the knowledge that God loves you. He does not want you to believe that. He does not want you to walk in that. He wants you to live in shame and guilt because it's his number one tactic for keeping you out of the kingdom. Bring up shame and guilt. And you cannot let him do that. I said it was the last scripture. I'll give you one more. 1 John 1:9 says, if you confess your sin to God, that he's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all sin. So if you have guilt and shame, you have to repent. Tell God you're sorry it happened. Repent. Get the blood on you so the devil has no foothold in your life. I mean, the answer to get rid of guilt and shame is just repent. Tell God you're sorry. Well, I don't feel I'm sorry. Well, now you're just getting emotional. I don't feel like he'd do it. Well, you didn't catch what I preach. Go listen to what I preach until you get it in your heart that he loves you because of the blood of Jesus, not because of you. The only reason why I can take any confidence. The reason why God would have anything to do with me is because he said he wanted to use the foolish things in the world to confound the wisdom of the wise. I took it to heart. I said, I'm a candidate then. I mean, just imagine. Can you imagine? Imagine what took place in heaven for me wanting to go get a cup of coffee. You see what I'm saying? How? I mean, if you're a religious person, you say, well, how carnal that was. He wasted so much money on a cup of coffee. Could have given it to the poor, fed a child. Well, we're doing that anyway. Why can't I have a cup of coffee while I'm doing it? Lord, have mercy. I mean, but you know, you get this feeling of heaven. It's like, you know, it's like so strict. But can you imagine? I mean, I don't know how it went down. I'm only guessing. But can you imagine Jesus calling Gabriel over and saying, hey, watch what we're going to do. Robert wants a cup of coffee. We need to get him over there somehow. Yeah. Let's work this out. I mean, that's cool. You know, that's cool. That, however that arranged, I don't know. I didn't hear anything. Nobody talked to me. I didn't get a message from heaven. Go to the HEB. I was as surprised to see him as he was to see me. I don't know how God does those things, but I just don't think it's like really, you know, like I mean, what does he do? Call all the angels and says, pray, you know, just beam down thought wave patterns to see if we can get Robert to go. All I was thinking about was the cup of coffee, so it didn't work. Y'all with me? And probably the only reason why I stopped there to get fuel is I thought it would be cheaper. Right? I mean, that's the only reason why. There was no, you know, I feel the anointing going this way. There it is. I see. Look, there's an angel on the sign. I mean, it might have been there. I didn't see it. I just was glad I had a cup of coffee. But I ended up in the right place at the right time. I'm just telling you, folks, God wants to work like that in your life all the time. I just know in my heart, because I believe what I'm preaching to you, I believe what the Scripture says, Jesus loves me. Not because I'm special, not because I'm pastor, but because of Jesus. I'm the equity of God in Christ. I just know it. I just believe it's true. It's liberating. It's fun to be at peace with God and know that he's not mad at me. Oh, do I do everything right? Pfft, ask my wife. Right? Do I always have righteous thought patterns? Absolutely not. Car pulls out in front of me. I think the same thing as y'all do. I wish I had a rocket launcher. And I say, well, Lord, that's terrible. I shouldn't have thought that. I repent. Right? I mean, come on. Y'all have all wanted that button on your dash. And that is why we don't have one. Because you would arm it, you know, even if you had to have the keys turn at the same time. Okay, get your key. Get hold of your key now. That one's going down. Hang on. Turn the key. Push it up. You know you'd do it. I don't always have righteous thoughts, but that's okay. I'm made out of dirt. How much better can you get? That's my ingredients. I'm made out of dirt and water. Man, but I got the blood poured over me. Covering it all. And that blood speaks so loud in heaven. That blood speaks so loud that you're righteous. That blood speaks so loud that you've been reconciled. That blood gets you right through the courts of heaven, right up into the throne, right in Daddy's lap. That blood is your ticket anywhere you want to go in heaven. Are y'all with me? The precious blood of Jesus. Amen. Well, put your Bibles up and stand up to your feet if you would, please. Sudie, come up here and play something. Play around that last song. I just want to ask you, church. Everybody just give yourself a little bit of privacy here with the Lord. And bow your hearts to Him and just stop. Don't think about lunch. Think about just this moment right now. If you're plagued with guilt and shame, if you've been living under a religious bondage and system of works, and you're sick of it and you want to be free, well, then I want to help you this morning. I just want to pray with you. I just want to get you to be free from that guilt and shame so you can just, man, have peace with God. If you're in here today and I'm speaking to you right now, then I'm going to pray. I want to ask you to pray with me. Just right there at your seat. Just pray with me. Make it your confession. I'll lead you through it. Just pray with me. Say, Jesus, right now, I just come to you. I'm tired of guilt and shame. I know I'm not perfect. And I'm just glad you are. Today I ask you for your blood over my life. Cleanse my mind. Cleanse my heart. Remove all guilt and shame from my life. Jesus, I love you for it. I thank you for it. That today I'm free. Today I'm free. Thank you, Lord. Now I'm going to pray for you. Father, right now, all those that prayed that, all those that were meaning that from their hearts, I declare today, right now, that they'll never be the same again. That, Lord, you cleanse their minds, you cleanse their hearts, just like they ask. And they're free. Free to serve you, free to live for you, free to have peace in their lives. I just say, like you said to the storm in life, Jesus, peace, be still. That today that they can know that they're loved in heaven, that they're right with God. Lord, I thank you for it. Lord, I give you all the praise for it. You're so amazing. You're so amazing. Thank you for it. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Now, church, listen to me. There's a world out there that doesn't know what you know this morning. There's a world of people think God's mad at them. There's a world of people out there that think God won't listen to their prayers. There's a world of people out there that think that God's after them, not in a good way. And Paul told us we're to be ambassadors. And all you really need to know to tell the world is just what I told you this morning. You can say, I don't understand it. I don't know why, but boy, this is a good deal. His blood's in your account, paid off your debt, peace between you and God, and glory to God, everything's okay. You just said what the Master wanted you to say. And if a person comes up and says, well, I don't know, what about this or that? The other say, I don't know, that's religious stuff. I don't know anything about this. I just know what the Bible says. See, I go to a crazy church. Our pastor doesn't teach us religion. He teaches what the Bible says. And I just believe what the Bible says because it's a Bible. It's funny. I have to tell you this story. I wasn't going to tell it because I didn't want to show my ignorance. But y'all already know that. I had practiced on this one verse in Spanish because I was going to throw it on the guys. Because we were doing a Spanish-English service. So I was going to throw it on the guys. And man, I'd worked on it. Man, I had it down good. And I was having some problems with my interpreter because he's a city boy. And I was using country terms and he didn't have things quite understood right. And so, I would say it in English and then he would say it in Spanish. And I had to correct his Spanish because it wasn't the right word. And I'd have to say it again. And so we were going through this major translation hang up. And so anyway, so I had this down. And so I told him to turn to the scripture. And so he turned to the scripture and I said, pero el Señor está conmigo, which that translated, the Lord is with me. And so the scripture says, it's in Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 11, it says, pero el Señor está conmigo, champion temible. And I said it, and they looked at me just about like y'all are looking at me, and they're all just like I said something wrong. And so I'm like, so I said it again, and I said, un champion temible. And they're like, you know how when somebody loves you, and they don't want, they're embarrassed for you, but they don't want to just laugh on the floor, you know? And you look at them and you can see that look in their face and they're like, huh, yeah. And that's like, I said, what's the matter with y'all? You don't even speak Spanish or what? And they're like, we don't know what you're saying. And I said, man, I'm telling you, it's right here in the Bible. And I got it. And I went over there and I showed them the scripture and they said, we've never seen that word. What do you mean? It's in the Bible. You don't know what the word is. And there was one man who was a doctor. And he says, I know that word temible. It comes from the root temor, which means fear. It means fearsome. And everybody's like, we never heard that word before. And so I started laughing. So I was telling Sister Annie this. I said, man, you need to teach your people Spanish. Forget about English. They don't even know Spanish. And so I told her the scripture and everything. She started laughing. She said, yeah, that's a word that's only used like in South America, in real proper Spanish. Nobody would ever use that word. And I said, well, I used it and it didn't work, but you guys now know that word, you know. The point I'm trying to say is that sometimes in life, you get to this place in life and you say something and it's like falls on deaf ears. I want you to know this morning that you're not going to ever say anything to God again that falls on deaf ears. Take that to heart. He hears you. He wants to be intimate with you. He wants to have a relationship with you. Nothing you ever pray, nothing you ever talk about to God ever falls on deaf ears. He's not looking at you this morning kind of smiling, but he's really embarrassed of you. He loves you. He loves you. Amen. Amen. Well, can I have my prayer team come down? Pastoral team, whoever, come down. If you're here, we're going to dismiss the service. But if you're here and you need prayer, you want some more prayer, you need anything in life, you wanted somebody to pray with you and talk to Jesus, well then, when we dismiss the service, we're going to be up here to pray with you. So take that person's hand beside you. Father, we just thank you for this day. Lord, we just give you praise this day. You're so good. You're so good to us and we love you. Lord, I declare as we go out there in this world, Lord, you called us to be ambassadors. Every person we come across this week, we're going to tell them the good news. That Jesus, you paid a price. You paid the debt. A debt no way we could have ever paid. So bless them. Lord, and we just thank you for it. That we're not going to live in guilt and shame anymore. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. And amen. God bless you, church.